nerderotic.com.
Once the page gets turned for Supergirl, we got another movie coming up in a couple of weeks that's a couple of people are talking about right now, and that's The Odyssey. It's a damn shame Jeremy isn't here to talk about The Odyssey, but we're going to talk about the massive ratio it got on its trailer. It was bad when it was approaching ratio.
Yeah,
it was just a lot of dislikes, but now it's like, it's insane. This is worse than the fucking Harry Potter. This is all, I think percentage wise, it's worse than the Rings of Power.
Woof.
For me, Rings of Power is one of the worst, most heartbreaking examples of something being taken and twisted around. Because I love Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's work so much. Yep. But I mean, there's a lot of people that care about The Odyssey too and love The Odyssey, millions and millions of people. Mm-hmm. So, of course, people are not going to respond positively to this.
I'm wondering how successfully, like, We think it's going to be hugely successful, and it probably will be, but now I'm just starting to doubt that a little bit. Well, I could be completely wrong, but how many people could, like, it needs to hit outside the bubble, right? It needs to hit the, you know, the naughty audience containment to really, you know,
like Supergirl
get
did
the numbers.
I would argue it kind of has, but not as bad as Supergirl. But I think, I mean, you're asking a very good question, because the answer is I don't know. This will be a good way to tell, like, what's the internet and what's the real world.
Yeah. Right? Sorry,
to be as fair as possible, because I don't think it's going to fucking flop.
No,
I have to see it flop before I'm going to admit it's going to flop.
There's enough people that don't understand any of this, don't pay attention to any of it. We'll just watch whatever Nolan puts out, whatever bland, boring shit he puts out. And it'll make a lot of money.
Because The Odyssey is a foundational work, there's going to be a lot of people who are just going to blindly go and see it because it is called The Odyssey. Therefore, it most likely is going to be successful, at least to a certain extent.
Yeah. And there's going to be some excusing. Hey, sorry, I'll get right back to you, Shad. I will, because I know what point you're going to make, and it's a good one. But there's going to be people excusing things like Emily Wilson getting brought up multiple times as a source for this movie, a possible source, and acknowledging the race swaps, but going, it still might be good anyway, because it's Nolan. Nolan's fan base, you think Snyder Bros and Gungooners combined are insignificant compared to Nolan's fan base. And they are very passionate. So we're going to, you know, and there's going to be some conflicting behavior, I think, with this. And that's why it's going to be fun. That's why this is going to be a shit show. Unless the movie's just fucking epic. Like, well, which it could.
Hey, so hopefully.
Chad, go on.
That's what I'm wondering. If Nolan's fan base and the people who are like, they're keyed in, they want to see, you know, The Odyssey brought to life, if that's going to be enough to hit it, make a billion. It might be. I honestly do not know. Because on its own, historical epics have not had a great track record, even from Troy, you know, how successful was that? And we're well past the days of when Braveheart came out, right? And that was phenomenal movie, and
Gladiator.
Gladiator. Then you have other movies that, just based on it being a historical epic, there wasn't a huge amount of interest. Russell Crowe's Robin Hood, right? And other things where it's made me wonder if this is going to reach that normie audience. But maybe Nolan has enough of, strength of word of mouth and enough of a fan base that it will. And it probably will. It probably will. I have questions now.
This is Hollywood's, like, big play. Our best director, our best guy with the biggest story, throwing it out there and doing everything that counteracts what people have been saying about us doesn't work. And if this makes money, they will run victory laps all up and down the coast going, we did it. We own the chuds. They were wrong. They couldn't do it. Our method works. They need it to work.
The motivation behind the casting was to take a shot at the chuds.
Yep. I mean, I kind of wanted to succeed then, because if all the other, you know, studios like, see, we can get away with diverse casting. And it's like, no, this is going to be the exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to double
see it
down,
that way, they don't see it that way.
It doesn't matter.
It's all for the
narrative.
You just
need a win. It's just like what's happening right now with Marvel. They're going to make well over $1 billion with Spider-Man. They go, guys, look at that. We're back. And then they're going to swing for the fence compromises with Doomsday, mm-hmm. and they're going to go, as long as people are talking about it, as long as it looks good and people are, you know, coming to the theater for the cameos, we can say it's a win and we can move on to the next thing. Like, they're just taking swings right now because they don't have anything else to do. They're just throwing haymakers and hoping something lands because they know they're getting to the end of the round and they don't really have much left.
Yep. And Nolan is trying to reinforce Hollywood's beliefs, their religious beliefs, and his motivation behind that casting, which he had everything to do with, he signs off on, is no different than casting black elves in Rings of Power and Black Snape.
Oh yeah, it's completely ideological. Yeah.
Like, how many people do you think that diverse casting is turning off of the film, though? It feels like, especially with this recent ratio, that it's harming it. Will it mean it'll bomb? No, I don't think so. But
no, it's not going to bomb.
They're being real secretive about it. They're only showing her for like a fucking flash.
On purpose.
Like, they're
that's
not showing her as a character.
The tell with this movie is if it hits over $1 billion. That's the tell. Mm-hmm. Because they're expecting that this is going to be a $1 billion hit. They're going to say Hollywood is back, baby. Anything under $1 billion is a loss. This will make its money back, absolutely. But that's the tell. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we're not dealing with Supergirl numbers here.
No. Mm-hmm. Yep. No. But it will be interesting because you will be able to work out how much the Barbenheimer meme actually helped Oppenheimer, because no one expected Oppenheimer to do that well. So this is him having to stand on his own feet with his own movie. And you can argue the box office is people's perception before they go into the cinema, but also how they feel about it coming out on the other side. I think that'll actually be where the race swaps and things affect it more, because it's like, how immersed are you in this setting, which just doesn't make any sense. This is supposed to be ancient Greece, but it looks like modern day. They're speaking in modern day language. I think how satisfied people are with the story, that's what will be affected by that.
So go back to that one, the previous one, real quick, Garrett. The funny thing about this is from Global Box Office, whatever. Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey countdown trailer has become the most disliked Hollywood trailer since the trailer for Snow White with Rachel Zegler. Now, the fact that you have these two images put together on any comparison anywhere is fucking insane. We'll go up a little bit. I want to read the rest. The Odyssey now has an estimated 80% dislikes, while Snow White had 95%.
Oh, shit.
But dude, even if it was approaching ratioed again, that's insane for a Nolan film. Now, again, it's just the internet. We need to discuss that, and in just a second, we'll start going over the dislike extension and how it basically aggregates the dislikes. Because there's a good argument to be made that the dislikes could be higher. You know, it just depends. Mm-hmm. It just depends. But what was the next thing you were going to show?
Well, I mentioned that they're kind of keeping her under wraps. They're not showing her a whole lot. They actually just released a scene.
Oh yeah, this is an actual scene. It's
an actual scene from the movie, everybody.
From the Odyssey. Here we go.
This is exclusive.
I didn't do nothing. I gotta get my nails done.
Oh my gosh.
You're changing up a little bit.
Oh my gosh. You're
changing up a little bit.
Huff, by the way, on X. Hail Huff. I gotta give credit to Jeremy from Geeks and Gamers. We had a phone call a while back, and he's all, you know, the trailer was doing fine until they showed Helen of Troy, and so soon as they show up, this thing could get ratioed. And that's exactly what happened, because the trailer was, I mean, it's not good, but it was fine till the end when they show Elliot Page in the worst fucking shot possible that just made a bunch of thumbnails and will continue to. I think it just made Drinker's thumbnail with that like knife to her neck. And listen, with Elliot Page, Drinker mentioned this in the video. As an adult, as an individual adult, you do what you want if you're of age. I don't care. I won't. You could do what you want as long as it makes you happy. That's fine. The one thing I will not do is participate in your fantasies. I will not deny reality.
Right.
So I'm not gonna call it a her. I don't have to call it a man. I could just say it or call it Elliot, but I am not gonna fucking play that game ever, because that's denying my reality. That's me giving an inch to 2 + 2 = 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, nobody had a problem with drag queens or trans people before. It's when they started compelling us to deny support basic it. Truths
yeah.
And support it. There's tolerance, and then there's I have to support. I have to be an ally. I don't have to do shit. You know, most human, listen, our base condition is once people tell us to do something, we don't want to do it. Yeah. We just don't want to do it.
Force acceptance is what they want.
Yeah. And that is my response.
They went past acceptance. I think they got acceptance at some point in the 2000s era. And then at some point they passed that and it wasn't enough. They had to continue. And it's the same thing with all activism. Once you get what you're trying to get out of activism, then you have nothing to do. So you have to continue.
Yeah, so
we need to fight more. We need to force people to accept our realities.
Well, like, a lot is that they make money.
You want to be over there.
Well, that's part of it, is that they make money.
Money's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing.
It's also about getting off on the power of it, though. Like, convincing someone to agree with you is one form of power. But if I can make you say something that I know you don't believe because it is so stupid, that is ultimate power. Now you can convince people of anything.
And their motivation behind that is deep-seated insecurity. They need to feel power whenever they can.
Yes.
Instead, if you're comfortable in your skin, then you're not compelling anybody to do anything because you don't give a fuck. You don't give a shit. Mm-hmm.
One person that isn't willing to validate me, I have a cause. Like that's the attitude, you know?
Right. They want to have this power and they want to force people to listen to them and live by their lifestyle. And they want that level of respect, even, you know, if they're not doing anything special. They want to be validated all of the freaking time.
You're going to let me wear a dress and open my legs in front of your children and read a book to them because that would be accepting.
See, that's the kind of me. That's where you're arguing.
I don't want you to do that, Garrett.
Every time. If you are an individual who wants to do this stuff without minding your own fucking business, nobody's going to fuck with you. Or
bring up kids, you fucked up.
You cross
the line. You get in the children. Yeah, it's
if you're just living your life and doing what you want, as long as you're not doing anything that harms anybody else, then that's one thing. But when, you know, queer Marxism starts being pushed into society, people start having a problem with it. And that is the point that we have hit where we have to constantly counter these people because they constantly push more and more and more onto everybody else. And then if you do not do what they want or you do not push their beliefs and you do not validate them, they label you as an enemy and they target you, and that has what has led to so much, you know, cancel culture and everything murder. That we've seen happen. Even political violence
all the way to that.
So Nolan is either helping a friend. I don't know how close of a friend he was to Elliot Page. That could be one argument. The other argument can be he's reinforcing a belief, and I think it's no more evident that you bring in a character that wasn't in the Odyssey at all, and that's who Elliot Page is playing Sinan, who's in a completely different poem.
I still think the funniest situation, because he says how he's not on the internet and all that, he doesn't do emails and stuff. If he actually just
what
didn't know,
do?
And he's just like, can you get that actress from this movie over here? And they went, okay. And then he had to find a position in the movie. Yeah. That would be.
Hey, I don't know if you heard, but like, she's a dude.
What? Minos is a bit of a difference.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. And again, Lupita Nyong'o and Elliot being in this is making people overlook Zendaya as Athena.
And John Legg, whatever his name is.
And John Wamos and Travis Scott. Is that his name?
Travis Scott. Yes.
Rapper.
I forgot about Travis Scott.
The poems poet. And rap are the same thing or whatever the fuck.
They're analogous.
Listen to rap, stop.
I mean, Christopher Nolan sucks.
Well, this is the thing, right? If I wasn't
for a long time.
If I wasn't reviewing media and things like that, and I was just a normie seeing the trailers, seeing what's coming out, I would have been checked out of this film. I first would have been on board. I was like, Odyssey, let's go. But I've seen enough crap that I'll be like, screw this film, don't need to watch
it. I first heard, I was like, hell yeah, let's go. I can't wait.
Too. I was like, fuck yeah, that's the guy to do it. And man, was I wrong.
Right? And I just wonder how many people that has happened to by now with all the crap that this film has done to
itself. People,
dude, I think a lot of people don't know. He's prestiging you. He's making you think that he's a good freaking director. He's not. His stories are boring. They're boring. They've always been boring.
Prestige was good.
He's just
has not made a good movie in 13 years.
He's just
he's had some good movies. The arguments of him being a bit overrated, yes, I think so. I think his films are sterile. They lack levity, and I'm not sure he's the right guy to do The Odyssey. The Odyssey should be done in the spirit of Jason and the Argonauts from Ray Harryhausen. That's the kind of that makes it a fun movie. And I know it's not
magic,
but you can make it a little more fun. All right.
I don't
really lean into the supernatural.
Yeah, I don't want your grounded in reality garbage bullshit. No. I want fucking skeleton people and cyclopses and weird ass creatures coming out the wall and stuff. That's what I want.
Jason and the Argonauts right fucking now. That movie's fucking great.
That's a great movie.
Yes. It's a good movie, man.
I got to meet Harryhausen right before he died. One of the better moments of my life. Right before Con opened, he was just sitting there by himself, and I'm like, I can't pass this up. Like, so hopefully I'm not annoying.
Somebody that had heart, that had creativity, some magic in him, and he was able to imbue that into his stop motion characters and his films that he made. And Nolan is a sterile, by the numbers, grounded reality fucker. Mm-hmm. And just everything he does is just timey-wimey bullshit, and I'm so tired of it. And people just go, oh, you're such a, oh, this pinky's so good.
Yeah. You just have to fucking show up and talk to people.
I wish Jeremy was here. We'd be having such a great argument right now.
It'd be explosive.
Nolan is the best filmmaker ever in existence.
It's undeniable.
Nolan's films.
In Jeremy's defense, Jeremy's a fan of Nolan. So that's fine. Yeah, like he's wrong with open, that. And that's great. He's the biggest star in Hollywood. That's undeniable. So I think it was Tyrone Magnus. I'll know Cameron is. I'm like, when Cameron makes more movies that aren't like blue furries, we can have that conversation. If he was more consistent, I would agree. I would say there was two. But right now there's Christopher Nolan, who consistently makes movies that are profitable. And if you bring up Tenet, dude, that came out when everybody thought you were going to die of a cold. Every theater was shut down, and it still made $330 million worldwide. He's the kind of director that makes people feel like they're watching an auteur. He's like an auteur for normies.
That's what he is. For Jeremy.
This is always
because he's not here, and I know he's listening.
I know. He'll be like, thank you.
Fuck him.
This has always been a thing, though, there is a tactic that people use to, if it's like, well, I want to appear more intelligent than I actually am. You could just write something that doesn't make any sense. And then people think, well, I didn't understand it. It must be really smart. And that's happened to a lot of especially time warp stories.
And the British accent, and they go, ooh, complicated story.
Yeah, you know, this must be smart. I mean, and let's be real, they're right most of the time. But
most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. So the ratio, for those of you listening on Spotify later on, the trailer that came out day before yesterday is currently sitting at 52,000 upvotes to 277,000 dislikes. Downvotes. I see Garrett played his part. So did I. That's insane. So I think it was going that way anyway. But then Asmongold had a clip come out and it doubled like within an hour.
Good.
And then it just didn't stop.
Because that doesn't mean it's kind of organic. If that's just mostly Asmongold's audience downvoting it, I don't know.
But they are customers. Like, they still matter.
Right, they are. They are people that maybe would have gone and watched this, you know, large Greek myth. But the problem is that it's a modern retelling of it. It's a narrative-driven pile of slop. And things like race swap killed it. And so these people that might have gone and watched it see all of these different elements throughout the teasers and trailers. And then they go, you know what? I'm actually not going to go and see it, and then leave their downvote.
Yeah,
these might have been people who just knew a little bit of information about it, but not the full picture.
The race swaps act as a red flag. So when we saw them with the Rings of Power, we're like, well, if they're willing to take liberties here, where else are they going to take liberties? Exactly. And we found out they took all the liberties. So you have the race swaps, and then you have Emily Wilson being brought up once. Okay. Being brought up twice. I don't know. Zendaya showing off the book. Fuck. It's going to be mostly her translation. I would be surprised if it wasn't. But this is
she is someone which is specifically spoken about how her translation is meant to be updated for the modern audience, easy to understand, so it can go into universities and teach new students about it. And so things like daddy and that kind of stuff is exactly the kind of attitude she would have towards it.
And we saw the same thing with Rings of Power. We saw the We saw the involvement of bad robot rejects. We saw the race swaps. And then we saw the Tolkien scholars that they were talking to. And they were all fucking woke Tolkien scholars. And they the Tolkien Society had that fucking horrid 2020 or 2021 seminar where they talked about fucking transgenderism and
transition. So,
I mean, it's the same thing, right? We there was still plausible deniability until the show came out. But once I saw that stuff, I'm like, okay, I know where we're going with it. Pattern recognition. But we're just not used to it with Christopher Nolan, who doesn't need to play these games and decided to for some reason. Odd for the Odyssey. Comes out in 2 weeks. I think Chris said he's seeing it early.
Counting the days.
Chris said he's seeing it early, so we'll get an early reaction from him. Some people have seen it, and I think they are starting to talk about it. One guy said it's the greatest movie ever made. Who knows?
I think that's really going to determine if this movie does well. If it's actually, like, to the normie audience, a home run, and they love it, word of mouth, I think, could mitigate the damage it's already hit. But if it's average to bad... kind of wondering. Like,
I think he's going to make money no matter what. I don't think he loses money. I think he's too big of a name.
But, yeah.
This isn't going to lose money.
Yeah.
No. No.
That's his most expensive movie. So it's $250 million budget. And I'm imagining a couple hundred million in marketing for this one. I think a lot went into marketing for this one. They're building horses.
Yeah.
He's what? He's hiding a lot of stuff in the trailers. Like, there's nothing that he's not showing anything off. Because I think he's trying to hide everything because I don't think he wants anything leaked. You know, if you had watched,
God forbid someone spoils the Odyssey.
What happened with the Dark Knight Rises? Everyone went, that's Talia al Ghul. He goes, it's not Talia al Ghul. Mm-hmm. I promise it's not her. He hid it from everybody. And then guess what? The big twist was it's Talia al Ghul. And we're like, yeah, we called it in the beginning, dude. Like, we already knew. Yeah. But it made the movie worse because he lied and told everybody it wasn't. So. I think his whole thing is
anything.
You know, Odysseus will return in Avengers Doomsday.
So it needs to make what, 800 million to break even
this film? Yeah, most likely.
Somewhere,
how much do you want
to bet? It needs to get to a billion. That's what Hollywood needs to see.
Bet at the end of the film, when Odysseus is slaying the suitors, that he gets like overpowered and his wife saves him at the very end of the movie.
She's going to hold up that 100% bow and shoot him all.
100% probably do that.
She's gonna be like, the suitor that I'm gonna marry, shoot through these axes, and then she's gonna shoot it, and then she's gonna marry herself.
Nina Sarkeesian. Yeah.
Happy birthday wedding.
It's always so great when we get to hear that name, isn't it? Oh man. Nerdlogic.com. Please subscribe.